This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome to Inside Out Weight Loss. I'm your host, Renee Stevens, and together we're accessing and adjusting the control panel of your mind, body, spirit system, bringing ease and joy to your weight loss journey and fullness to the rest of your life. Inside Out Weight Loss is about deep and lasting weight loss. It's about treating the causes of your weight struggle rather than the symptoms. Your excess weight, your struggle, is a symptom of something going on at a different level. When you try to address the symptoms without addressing the causes, you set yourself up for frustration and disappointment. Overeating is a symptom. Underexercising is a symptom. Lacking the desire to take great care of yourself so that you have more to share with others is a symptom. And any program that gives you a set of rules or a nutrition plan to follow that tells you when and what to eat is treating the symptoms. And if you're like me, you'll be able to do great on a plan like that. The pounds will come off as long as you follow it. The problem happens that in following it, we get kind of worn out. Our willpower runs dry after a while, doesn't it? It's too much hard work, especially now around the holiday season. My goodness. And so eventually we give up and we revert back to our old ways because at some level our old ways are still working for us. Yes, they're still working for us. So when we address the causes, it means that those old ways of overeating or underexercising cease to work for us. In other words, we find things that work way better, and we actually change. I want you to think about this for a minute. We change at the level of desire. What does that mean? That means no more white knuckling it, as they say in 12-step programs. No more grinding your teeth and bucking up to try and be good. No. It means that you start to discover that you prefer to eat healthy food. You start to kind of like those workouts, especially the way they make you feel afterwards. Ooh, wow. I feel good when I exercise. How about that? I feel good when I eat the right amount for my body. I like to feel good, and I like to feel good for a long time. And the next thing you know, you look at the plate of brownies and you think, ugh. It's going to feel okay while I'm eating it, but pretty darn soon, within 5 to 10 minutes, it's going to feel like a rock in my stomach, and I'm going to feel bad the rest of the day, and I'm not going to enjoy my next meal. So you know what? Really not interested this time. Maybe another time, but right now, no thanks. Can you imagine? Could that really be possible? Food for thought, huh? But don't believe me right now. See for yourself. Go back to the beginning, start from the prologue, and follow this program and see what happens for you. We start each episode of Inside Out Weight Loss by taking a few moments to become present with ourselves. Because by being present with ourselves, by allowing all of that outside noise and all of the clutter in our minds to gently fade away, to drift away as if they were clouds in the sky, we allow ourselves to sink down to the level where the type of deep change that I'm talking about happens. You see, deep change doesn't happen when we're thinking about our to-do list. And it doesn't happen when we're multitasking. Deep change happens when we're present with ourselves. So go ahead and take a moment to connect to your breath. Notice that your breath is there and simply allow yourself to become aware of the inhalation that carries oxygen into your body, into your lungs, and from your lungs into your bloodstream. And your bloodstream carries that oxygen to every nook and cranny of your body, to every part of your body. Isn't it interesting to notice that with each breath that we take, we bring in something completely new into our bodies. We bring in completely new and fresh oxygen into our bodies with each inhalation. And at the same time, with each exhalation, we release things that are no longer needed from our system. We exhale carbon dioxide. We exhale and we release. So just spend a moment or two noticing that with each breath you bring in the new and release the old, what's obsolete, what no longer serves. Imagine if each breath could carry in just the right kind of energy, just the right kind of oxygen that would allow you to adopt the new behaviors, the new beliefs, the new feelings, the new way that you've been desiring. And each exhalation allowed you to release the old and worn out, the old that has never really worked that well, or maybe it worked pretty darn well in the beginning, but it hasn't worked well for a long time now. Breathe in positive energy, breathe in positive life force, and release waste, what's no longer needed, what's obsolete. Release it to the trees and the plants who will breathe it in and recycle it for us. Breathing out beautiful oxygen and clean air that we need. Inhaling positive energy and releasing what's no longer needed. As you allow yourself to gently settle into your own center, to gently settle into a place of internal balance and openness. And from this place, centering and balancing and opening with each breath, you allow an intent, a desire to emerge from deep within, and you set that intent for today's episode of Inside Out Weight Loss. And then just take a moment to connect with other fellow listeners across space and time to this episode. Perhaps there's someone else somewhere else on the planet listening at the exact same moment as you. Send that person your love and support and feel theirs come back to you. Almost as if every listener across space and time, together with your intention, created a beautiful field of support, a beautiful field of compassion and unconditional acceptance. And into this field, as if it were a lake or a pond, you could gently cast your intention and watch it take off and grow. Now, wouldn't that be wonderful? On today's show, I'm answering a question from a listener about that one limiting belief that just won't budge, no matter what. Do you remember what a limiting belief is? I did a series of episodes on limiting beliefs way back in the early days. So as a refresher, a belief is something that we hold to be true, even if there is evidence to the contrary. Or a decided lack of evidence. In other words, there's an element of assumption, even perhaps an element of faith in a belief. And a common belief to demonstrate what a belief is, of course, the belief in God. There's a decided lack of evidence that there is a God, and yet many of us believe that there's something out there. That's a belief. So what's a limiting belief? And you clever atheists out there who are telling me that the belief in God is a limiting belief, I hear you, is possible, but we're not going there today. Where we are going is thinking about limiting beliefs. What are the ones that get in our way? All right, so what is a limiting belief? We know what a belief is. What's a limiting belief? Well, it's as you would guess what it is. A limiting belief is something that we believe that holds us back, that limits us in some way. For example, there are some rampant limiting beliefs in our culture around weight loss. For example, weight loss requires discipline and deprivation. Heard that one before? Weight loss is hard work. How about that one? Held by many, many, many people, even those in the medical establishment. Do we have evidence that it's hard work? Well, you could say, well, gosh, it's hard work for a lot of people and most people fail at it, so therefore it must be hard work. In fact, it's really hard work for those people who fail at it. Huh. Anything strike you that could be a little fishy about that reasoning process? A little suspect or a little circular? Like, for example, if it's hard work for the people who fail at losing weight, maybe that's because they're using the wrong tools and techniques, therefore it feels really hard, when in fact, for those for whom it's easy, they actually succeed. Does that make sense? How about this? If it's hard work, then you'll fail. But if it's easy, then you'll succeed. Ah, that one I like. That sounds like an empowering belief, which is in fact the opposite of a limiting belief. We want to identify our limiting beliefs, toss them out the window, thank you very much, with great respect and gratitude, but ciao. And we want to usher in, to welcome in the new and empowering beliefs. Rolling out the red carpet for those empowering beliefs, like, I deserve to be naturally slender. How about this one? It's my nature to be naturally slender. How about that one? Wouldn't you like to put out the welcome mat for that belief? Funny you should say that, because our listener who wrote in a question to me, her name is Vicky, has something kind of related going on. And we'll go directly to her question right after a break. You're listening to Inside Out Weight Loss on Personal Life Media. This is your host, Renee Stevens, and we'll be right back.
Hi there, this is Lisa Cook of Family History Genealogy Made Easy. Have you ever wondered who your ancestors were? Finding your family history has never been easier or more rewarding. Get the tools that will deliver success along with inspiring stories of family discovery on my weekly show, Family History Genealogy Made Easy, on personallifemedia.com.
We're back now. Before the break, we were talking about limiting beliefs and the limiting belief that one of our listeners wrote in to tell me about. And Vicky writes, up until I was 8, I was a skinny girl. Food was just food, and I always ate well and cleared my plate as instructed by my mom. About this time, my mom returned to working afternoons and no longer collected me from school or was in when I got home. I used to take the short walk home from school by myself and let myself into an empty house. Looking back, I was scared on my own, and thinking about it, I believe I ate to get rid of the anxiety in my stomach, a habit I've been managing to address through your programs. But here comes the issue. Suddenly, as I put on weight, people around me changed. I was referred to by my brother as fat, and well-meaning relatives, particularly my grandma, began to refer to me as a big girl. I knew it was a code for fat. That was it then. My identity was changed to a big girl. You know the rest. I hung around at school with the big girls, learning their habits of avoiding sports, etc. In the last year, I've changed my beliefs about myself and sport. I'm now a person who enjoys exercise, and I'm training for a swim event, so now I'm sporty, thanks to your program and an NLP coach. I've gone down 2 dress sizes with only 7 pounds to go before I'm bang in the middle of the healthy range for my height. This is my goal. This little voice in my head, though, still tells me I'm a big girl, and I know it's my final block. Well, first off, Vicky, congratulations! 2 dress sizes and only 7 pounds away from being smack in the middle of your goal range. This is fantastic. I am so happy for you and happy for these amazing changes, transformations that you've made in your life. And yeah, I see that believing and seeing yourself as a big girl is not going to help. We've talked in the past about how you see yourself and how that affects what reality you create. For example, people who always believe that they're fat from a young age then eventually become fat, even if they weren't to begin with. So Vicky's case is a little like that. She's actually pretty slim now, it sounds. And certainly no longer a big girl physically. Yet this little voice inside of her head, this little image inside of her mind, tells her that she's a big girl. And somehow this has been really resistant. It hasn't wanted to budge. And often we have issues like that. We can handle a whole bunch of them, but then there's the one that kind of gets us. So the first thing that I'd like to know is, what might be the positive intent of holding on to that identity about being a big girl? What's in it for Vicky? Why would she want to hold on to that identity? And I know that consciously she doesn't want to hold on to it, but there's another part of her, deeper inside perhaps, that does want to hold on to that identity. What could be the upside? Now, I don't know Vicky, and I don't know the answer for her, but I'm guessing. I'm going to take a wild guess here, just from a hint in something that she wrote, which was that her grandma called her a big girl. And then I get that her brother called her fat. And then she created a social group around being a big girl. So I'm wondering if there's something about being in sync with her grandma or even with her brother that kind of worked for her, that she wanted to feel close to her grandma. And if being close meant seeing herself the way her grandma saw her, then she was prepared to do that because being close was worth it at the time. Maybe she didn't, as a young girl, know any other way to do it. And in fact, it sounds like she was a little bit lonely at age 8 because her mom started working and she was coming home to an empty house at the end of the day. So maybe she didn't want to risk alienating anybody else or differentiating or separating herself through her beliefs about herself. So she thought, you know, I'll just go with the flow. It's really important to me, she might have thought subconsciously, to play my role in the family, to be a member of this family. And if the family sees me as the big girl, then I'll be the big girl. What else would she do? So I don't know if this is true or not for Vicky, but I'd certainly look here. I'd look at the positive intent, the upside. What could possibly have been the reason to adopt that identity about herself at that? Now, about that age is when we are beginning to form our own identity. It's about the time developmentally when we're beginning to understand that we are separate individual human beings with our own lives and our own thoughts and our own futures. And so our identity is actually being formed around that age, 7, 8, 9, 10. And that's when she got this message. So it sounds like she adopted it without too much questioning, because you don't know to question much at that age. You just accept the place that you have in your family. And in her case, accepting it may have meant, or she thought that it meant, being closer to her family members, being closer to the ones she loved. Okay, so now let's assume that Vicky understands the positive intent of this identity, of this belief that she's a big girl. Then the question becomes, how the heck are we going to change it? The good news is that just understanding the positive intent is enough to loosen it. It's enough to begin the process of forgiving ourselves, because forgiveness begins with understanding the positive intent. Another way of saying that is that forgiveness begins with compassion, with empathy. And forgiveness brings freedom. In other words, it helps to understand the positive intent of the belief that just won't budge. So now what? There are a number of different ways to change a limiting belief, many of them that are fun. One of them, of course, is using the emotional freedom technique, is tapping on the meridian points. And if we were to do that, we would tap on them saying things like, even though I'm a big girl, I still choose to be the person I want to be. Even though I'm a big girl, I still forgive, love, and accept myself. Even though I'm a big girl, I still choose to feel close to my family members. That's one way. Another way to release a limiting belief is to bring that belief first into doubt. So you could write down on a piece of paper the limiting belief. On the left-hand side of the page, you write, I'm a big girl. And on the right-hand side of the page, you begin to question that. By whose standards am I a big girl? Have I always been a big girl? Why will I always be a big girl? Is it possible to be slim? How would I know that I'm a slim girl? How would I know that I'm naturally slender? And all sorts of questions, stream of consciousness here, anything that comes up that allows you to begin to question this limiting belief. Because you want to take something that was very set and begin to open it up, to begin to loosen it up by bringing doubt to it. You want to get your mind to say, well, wait a minute, does that really make sense? It doesn't really seem to work for me anymore. So now that you've got your limiting belief and you've got all these questions written down, well, does that really make sense? Who says I'm always going to be a big girl? How would anyone know at the age of 8 that I am a big girl? Technically, I'm not a big girl right now, so maybe I'm a naturally slender person. If my grandma were here right now, what would she say? What would an angel say? What would my higher self say? All sorts of questions. Whatever works for you, whatever pops into your mind, you just write that down. Then, I think we're on the back of the page now, you start to write down new empowering beliefs. What could a new empowering belief be? I'm a naturally slender person. My body is happiest when it's naturally slender. It's easy for me to be slim. Or maybe you craft a new identity that has nothing to do with your weight at all. It's a weight neutral identity. I'm a healthy person. I'm a loyal person. I'm a nurse. I'm a teacher. I'm a CEO. In fact, each of us will have a whole constellation of identities because there's a whole constellation of roles that we fulfill in life. So going through this writing exercise is a really nice way to loosen up and to begin to shift your belief. Once you have a new belief, a new empowering belief that you really like, you can begin to use that as an affirmation. And you can ask yourself questions like, how would I know that I'm a healthy person? For example, in my case, I have an identity as a healer. How do I know that I'm a healer? I feel it in my heart. So begin to gather evidence as to how you would know or how you do know that you have that new identity. And any sticking points you come up against, use the EFT tapping if you know that technique. If you don't, go back to episodes, I think it's 40 or 41, where I do a whole series explaining the emotional freedom technique. And I'm noticing that we're out of time for today, but thank you for being present. Do you have a question for me, a situation that you just can't quite figure out and you'd like me to answer it on air? If so, send me an email to renee@personallifemedia.com. Send me a message on Facebook. You can friend me at Renee Stevens. Just make a note in your friend request that you're an IOWL listener. And by the way, I have some goodies getting ready for you in the new year. New programs and products, and if you'd like to hear about them as soon as they become available, hop on over to my website at reneemethod.com, reneemethod.com, and enter to get the free manifesting meditation I offer there, and that will put you on my email list so you'll find out as soon as it's available. Also, if you friend me on Facebook, I'll be announcing things there too. Either way, you get to see a picture of me, because I know that I'm always so interested to see what the people I listen to actually look like. This is your host, Renee Stevens, and I am on a mission to eradicate the weight struggle from the planet, enabling you to develop and share your abundant soul's gifts. Join me as we evolve the world by evolving ourselves. Take good care.
More great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.